This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Arts in Atlanta conversation. Today, I am joined by Davey Miner, Xavier Black, and Daniel Fuller. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate Thanks. You.
Let's start with the introductions. So let's go around the room, if you will, and talk about who we are and what we represent. Davey.
All right, my name is Davey Miner. I am curator of Dear Bear Wolf, which is a multifaceted platform to support and promote Atlanta artists, musicians, and writers. We have a magazine, a record label, a small publishing press, a variety show, a live reading series, and various art exhibitions and events.
Xavier here, a DJ, kind of an experienced curator. Also co-founder of The Work Entity, which is event management and event production and talent booking as well.
Daniel Fuller, curator of the Atlanta Contemporary Art Center. We're the Contemporary Art Museum on the West Side. We have exhibitions, we have screenings, we have programs for kids, we have music, we have all sorts of cultural events. Primarily, though, everything is based around contemporary art from around the world coming here to Atlanta.
Awesome. Well, guys, I'm very happy to have you all here. And coming out of 2014, everyone tends to look at the new year as this time for new opportunities. You have all the goals ahead of you, the things that you're looking forward to. As you talk to artists and as you have your pulse, if you will, on the culture community in Atlanta, what are some of the overriding themes from 2014 that you think may filter over into 2015?
Well, I wasn't here in 2014. So, you know, so it's interesting for me. And I sat down with the calendar the other day and looked at my last couple months, having only been here for 2 months. And I think at the 40-day mark, I looked back and counted, and I had done 30 studio visits with 30 visual artists in 40 days of being here. So I don't really know. I read about the past year. I talk to visual artists. I talk to musicians. I talk to people here in Atlanta about what their past was and what I can do to help sort of make the contemporary better, make the contemporary more relevant, how I can be part of the scene here and how I can help push things forward, for them and for the city. So, to me, it's not so much about looking back at what was going on in the past as it is how can we be something more relevant in the future.
Yeah, I think if I've seen anything, kind of with a lot of the social climate in the air around the country and especially in the Southeast region, just think it's been a cool thing to see how some of the local Atlanta artists have been connecting with different other facets of city structure, whether that's the city officials, mayor's office, public school system, and how to kind of incorporate their message of that they're portraying in their art into have a little bit more of a strategic impact socially for what's kind of been happening. So I think I've seen a lot more focus at some of the artists in doing that. So.
I think for me, I felt like the theme of 2014 was that people around the city were sort of teaming up more. Like, as long as I've lived in this city, it's been very fragmented, and all the scenes were sort of off in their own little worlds. And I feel like last year was a very big year for the city as far as people just coming together and across different art disciplines. And I feel like that was definitely the theme, and I feel like that's going to keep happening more and more, right, as 2015 continues.
You talk about sort of that cross-disciplinary approach, Davey, and I think with Dear Bear Wolf, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for artists to express themselves, whether it's the music, whether it's the writing, the merchandise, all of these things. So maybe from your standpoint, what has gotten easier for artists in terms of maybe branching out into other areas that may not be their primary focus?
Well, for one thing, I just think because of technology and the internet, it's made things a lot more accessible to artists to be able to do things. So there's so many more tools available to artists to use that didn't exist 10, 15 years ago. And I think specifically with Atlanta, it's one of those things that certain scenes had to grow. Like, for instance, the lit scene here. 5, 6 years ago, it really didn't exist whatsoever. So it's sort of had to come blossom and become something of itself before it could actually extend across and you know, incorporate other elements with it. And I think the visual art scene, the same thing. It's grown so much over the last few years. And the music scene has always been, it's been vibrant, but it's always been certain pockets came up and out. And now I feel like it's a period now where even just between the different music scenes, there's a lot more, there's less clickiness that's happened. Yeah. And I feel like that's the big thing that's changed in the city very recently.
Yeah, I agree. I've only been here about 5 years. And even within my short amount of time, I've seen exactly the change of climate that you're discussing right there. In my travels to other cities, you know, sometimes when I say I'm from Atlanta, they'll kind of highlight what's going on here and the excitement around the city and ask me, how's that happening? And I'm like, collaborations, yeah. You know, and it's very much a, it may not have been per se maybe before I moved here, but the Atlanta that I've witnessed has been very unified and a really cool community of bridging those worlds together. So, yeah.
When it comes to maybe taking that a step further, Xavier, you mentioned the artists that you know having more of an opportunity to connect with the infrastructure,
yes.
Whether it be the school systems, whether it be the city, whether it be larger institutions.
Sure.
Talk about that. You know, what do you think helped make that more of a reality? Mm. You know, I guess last year, but also what gives people more hope that can continue going forward?
Yeah. I think a lot of, at least within Atlanta, it's that still DIY nature that it has to it and independent kind of a mentality sometimes that may not be prevalent in some of the bigger cities. And I've seen, you know, a lot of my experience here has kind of been in the 044 Edgewood District. And just to be able to witness programs like there's a new movement happening called Lift, and they meet once a month. And it's been cool to see kind of like their really raw organic spaces that they choose to kind of highlight individual artists, kind of very, I think they're inspired by 18th, 19th century Renaissance culture and kind of salon style pop-up galleries. And every month so far has been kind of a core theme that they've highlighted. And I know last month was, they highlighted a photographer, Julian Plowden. And he highlighted, these last couple months, he's been having a focus on the new civil rights movement that's really happening right now. So he's captured a lot of the marches and the protests. He went over to Ferguson and captured a lot there. So they were able to highlight him and then also include really key activists from the city like Aurelia Lucier, who's been part of the Bigger Than You campaign, which has just done an incredible job at getting the younger generation engaged in, you know, not just the social activism of what it's called, you know, I guess the term that's been called, but to actually go into city hall offices and communicate with them. And so it's been a cool thing to see things like that and bridging the gap, to see even a photographer like Julian get contacted by Emory University. I think they just they purchased a lot of his photography that was highlighting this kind of whole new movement in the civil rights kind of campaign right now. But there's definitely an excitement in kind of bridging those worlds together here. Yeah.
I think it's also, I've met with Julian a couple times.
Oh, nice.
He's just a kid, you know?
Yeah.
He's a kid in the best way. He's just excited about everything. He's traveling all over. He's taking these photos. And for him to, like, get that experience of having that show, having people come out to see what he's been working on, it's so cool that there is this space here.
Yeah.
There's so many, it's one of those things where there are empty spaces. There are people that are willing to get even spaces that aren't empty. There's people willing to let you do something. I think that's one thing that I've found so much in Atlanta is, like, you want to do something, you can do it. Someone will like, if you've got an idea and it's good, someone will help you out, and they will give you a space, they will give you a venue, they will give you a platform, because people just don't want it to be boring. I think, you know, I can't speak for the past, but it seems like not that long ago things weren't always exciting. Mm. And now everyone's just trying to trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
It's good. It feels like a really good time.
Very youthful and vibrant energy. Yeah.
You know, I think with the institutions too, I think sort of something that sort of happened was the institutions around the city weren't really supporting the art scene very much or very involved with it. And what happened is this whole DIY thing came about and everybody started doing so much that I think that like we're hitting this period now where the people, politicians and people in power and money are realizing that this whole thing is just built up and it actually benefits them financially because what's happening is it's making people interested in the city and it's actually and you know, like the Beltline, that's a really good example of how that's like actually helping developers and politicians and stuff. And I think we're at this period now where the institutions are realizing they kind of it's in their interest to pay attention and try and support what's going on.
The DIY really nature and kind of self-starter is something that was prevalent in the New Yorks and LAs and, you know, Philly, Chicago's, but quite haven't adopted itself really in some of the southern communities yet. So it's really been an awesome thing to see kind of that spirit be implanted in Atlanta in the last couple of years.
That's one thing that I've been thinking a lot about just in terms of living in Philadelphia for 4 years before Maine. Mm-hmm. This weird thing of like this gallery called Highwire started. And it was like this crazy place, all these crazy, you know, ridiculous parties that would go all night long. And the art was kind of secondary to the party. And then those guys got old and then Vox Populi started and Vox Populi became the crazy place. And then they got a little, you know, they're around 5 years and Space 1026 comes in. And it was like this continuous, like next group of young people doing their thing. And I think, you know, it's a funny thing to me because I feel like the spaces that I've really enjoyed going to see art and to see music so far are all super new here. And I think this goes back to what you guys are saying because, like, Mammal Gallery wasn't around that long or it hasn't been around that long. The Low Museum, which is just down the street from where I live, those dudes are doing really great stuff. And it's I think there was a few generations that got skipped. Nexus used to be this crazy place that had crazy parties with music, theater, literature, books, art. And then there was just a long gap. And now things are, people are taking it upon, they're not waiting for the institution to sort of validate things or do it for them. They're just starting, they're starting their own thing in their living room or somewhere downtown. They're just finding space to do it.
Interested that you mentioned the generational divide really there, because I think more of my background in Atlanta has kind of definitely been more of the music scene and kind of more DJ-driven parties and dance-style entertainment. And we've had a lot of the older kind of respected DJs really come up to us recently and say, man, we didn't do a good job at connecting with some of you guys, you know, in that, you know, 5 to 10 years ago mark of, you know, showing you the ropes, introducing you to the right venues, engaging you in this certain party style of, you know, eclectic dance floors and just the rich culture here that was there. So we kind of had to find it on our own, you know, but they're all kind of coming around now and now maybe taking a few of us under their wing and really doing some collaborative projects. But there was that divide there, man. Yeah, you're right.
Daniel, I wanted to get your perspective as someone who is representing an institution at this point. Mm-hmm. How do you balance the focus on the national/international with the local? Because I think we talked a lot about the institutions sort of, you know, rooting themselves here locally. I know you haven't been where you are very long, but from your perspective or maybe from conversations, how do you all balance that larger, I guess, aim and perspective with the local perspective?
I look at my job in some ways as two-pronged, where I have to be incredibly visible and out there in the art scene in Atlanta. But at the same time, my job is to show the best art from all around the country, all around the world. We're not a local art center. We're not a local art museum. We show top-notch, cutting-edge contemporary art. I keep saying my sort of job is this thing of I'm supposed to go out into the world, find the art that I want to bring here that I think would influence artists in Atlanta, that I think is important from other places, and bring that art in. And my job in a lot of ways is bringing Atlanta artists out of Atlanta and getting them exposure outside of Atlanta. And I don't necessarily want the best artists to leave, to move out of town, but I want them to go do residencies. I want them to get grants. I want them to get shows in New York and shows in Miami and shows in Los Angeles. And so my job is to bring great art in and bring great art from Atlanta outside of the city.
And how does that happen as far as the let's say some of the artists that Davey may interact with, or even beyond that, but just how do you work on providing that pipeline or that platform for the local artists to maybe learn about those other opportunities so that they can leave and, you know, come back but still get that experience?
I think it's all just networks, you know, and I think that's – curators move around a lot. We're pretty mobile people, and I – like I said, I feel like every 4 years I move somewhere else. But at the same time, we all reconvene at curators' conferences, at the art – you know, at Art Basel Miami, at the Freeze Art Fair, at the Armory Show. We all get back together all the time, and we're like – this person's doing something good in New York. This person's doing something good in Kansas City. This person's doing something in Atlanta. And you basically just share your network. You share what's going on in your city. You write about it. One of the amazing things here, this is something that one of the many things that sort of drew me here is, like, we've got an international art magazine based in this city. No one else has that. Like, all the other art magazines are in New York. That's it. Los Angeles doesn't have an international art magazine. Chicago doesn't. We've got art papers. We've got this venue that we can get artists from Atlanta all over the world. So much easier than other cities have. I think there's a number of different ways that we can sort of put people out there, put people from this scene out there into the world, and sort of help them sort of increase the brand of Atlanta. Stop me if I'm talking too long, but I got one other thing. It's funny because I was saying, like, I was just saying last night how 15 years ago, myself and all my friends, all we wanted to do was move to New York, and we all did. And then 15 years later, those that are still there, the only thing that they want is to get the hell out of New York. They're just so sick of it. And everyone wants to move to LA right now, and LA is so – it's gotten super expensive as of late. I keep trying to sell my friends in New York, like, come to Atlanta. Yeah. Same weather. Yeah. It's the, you know, same infrastructure, spread out, sprawling city. Amazing music, amazing radio stations, amazing music scene, amazing art scene. The food here is out unreal, and it's half the price on rent.
Yes.
You know, it's that funny thing of you just get excited about the city, and then when you're traveling, when you're talking to people other places, you just, like, you try and convey that excitement. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's the next step for Atlanta is like, things are happening here now and things are moving in the right direction, and, like, people are going to keep doing cool stuff. So I think the next step is being able to tell the story of what's happening in Atlanta to everyone else. And I think that's the gap we've got to bridge, because I feel like unless you are from Atlanta or, like, intimately knowledgeable about it, and even some people who live here don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really, like, people just don't think of it. They don't know what, they don't realize there's something happening here. So, you know, one of the things I remember, like Living Walls, one of the criticisms that was always lodged against them is they didn't use enough Atlanta artists, and they were bringing people in from other cities. But, like, to me, that was, like, that's a good thing, because you're bringing other people into the city, and they're seeing what's happening here, and it's helping give us a national, international, a credibility. And so, like, I feel like that's something that we need more and more of, that, like, institutions here who are doing cool stuff locally branching out and telling the story and bringing artists here to other places so they can learn, bringing artists from other places here so they can teach. Like, I think that's a really important thing, and I think that's going to be the big step that we have to do as the art scene continues to flourish and we have this sort of renaissance that's happening now.
I agree. There's been a really great foundation, I think, that's been built now. And if I could have a goal, I guess, and a wish for this year, it would be to exactly what you're saying is the platform and, I guess, the message to get out a little further, you know, so we have the community here that, you know, hopefully aren't jaded or, you know, frustrated or disappointed, you know, with not having other opportunities outside of Atlanta, which is simply because of that. It's not because they're not incredible. It's not because we don't have a great scene here, because we do. It's just, it's not exposed yet. So, you know, I know for myself, I really would love to kind of hopefully with some of my travels be function as less kind of more of a in the DJ capacity that I have been, and kind of functioning as that mediator, hopefully between brands, companies, organizations, schools, and just highlighting what we have here.
Now, Daniel, we got some insight into maybe your curatorial perspective. I would like to continue that and maybe get the same thing from you, Davey, and you, Xavier. Davey, when it comes to Dear Bear Wolf, what is your curatorial perspective there for those who may not be as familiar with that?
I mean, basically, the whole idea behind it, well, there's two main thrusts. One is to try and take sort of the DIY underground sort of art and give it a platform and give it exposure to a wider audience. So that's sort of the thing, is to try and package everything in a way that's more accessible, whereas the actual artists maybe, you know, would not be good at promoting themselves or, you know, that sort of thing. And also just sort of trying to bring the different disciplines together and connect the different dots, because that's always been a problem with the city, is how fragmented it is. And if you're just a normal person living in the city and you don't have time to go to shows every night and spend all of your time immersed in the scene, it can be very difficult to understand what's even happening. So I think that's sort of the thing, is just sort of trying to connect to all the different dots and connect different people together, because there are so many talented people. I mean, the last year or two, this is happening more and more now, so it's not as big an issue as it used to be. But there used to be just so many people that were doing cool things that didn't realize these other people existed. And I feel like like now it's finally getting to this point where that's starting to happen, where people are collaborating, people are coming together, people are realizing there are all these opportunities, all these people who are, and this other thing that's cool about the city is everyone's willing to help. It's like, like in Atlanta, most people are from another city. Like, there's very few people who are native Atlantans. So it's not like if you try and get into the scene, people are like, oh, you're not really an Atlanta person. like everyone here is, like, embracing. People want more people to be doing things. It's like, it's not really a competition thing. It's like everyone realizes the more stuff we have going on here, the better it's going to be for everybody. So as far as I'm concerned, I just pretty much try and douse the fire with gasoline as much as possible with that.
Yeah, I feel especially this last year and a half, I've kind of functioned in that same role of just kind of highlighting other Atlanta individuals to each other. You know, I feel sometimes the lull or the stall in the creative scene sometimes is you don't know your own neighbor. So I think that's been kind of an encouraging thing to see now, that people are aware of each other now and they're collaborating, they're working on projects together, live event experiences. And I know going into further now, I just kind of want to, now that that community is kind of forging a strong bond together, kind of want to be able to expose it to, you know, bigger and better resources and opportunities. You know, I know just recently there's been, at least within the urban kind of music scene, there was some chatter about different documentaries that are highlighting Atlanta. One, for example, Noisy just came out with one through Vice, and then Billboard.com actually just had one as well. And it was a very kind of focused effort on a certain side of Atlanta, which is very real. You know, it was definitely a little narrow, you know, so I want to be able to kind of expose it on a greater scale, hopefully, to show the different artists that we have here that aren't necessarily doing what outside people may consider traditional urban Atlanta music and art, you know, to talk about the Gwen Buns, the St. Beauties, the whole Wonderland camp that is just far extended more than just Janelle Monae and the Micah Freeman's, Hero of the Band. It's just so many more. I can keep going down the list of really incredible musicians, but just kind of like highlighting the unified front that's here now.
Well, we are going to get into some of your favorite artists or artists that you think are on the cusp of having a great year. But before we do that, Davey, I wanted to get your thoughts on an event that happened towards the end of last year, the Phoenix Fest. Talk more about that for people who maybe did not get a chance to go to that.
Okay, so that was I mean, it was an awesome, interesting thing. It sort of just came together out of nowhere. There's this abandoned motel near Lakewood Amphitheater. These two brothers bought it a few years ago, and they set up this farm. It's called Urban Sprout Farms. And they had just, like, local graffiti artists they knew coming and, like, just sort of painting stuff on the abandoned motels. And they have an interest in wanting to, like, sort of support the art community and sort of build some sort of hub for that there. So they had one of the artists, Squish, he was you know, he happened to be friends with somebody who I work with Dear Bear Wolf, and we kind of connected, sort of connected the dots, got together and talked, and then we just came up with this idea that, like, let's just throw this big festival. And it was one of those things that sort of, like, it started with just kind of a small idea and just sort of snowballed. It got bigger and bigger and more people involved, and it just... So basically, for a day, we had local street artists and graffiti artists and DIY artists and installation artists set up all these murals and installations inside of all these abandoned motels. And then we had local bands perform on the stage we built out of mulch. And we had local writers performing readings by the old motel pool that was now like a koi pond. And it was a really cool, surreal experience. Like so many people came and donated their time, donated materials to make this free festival happen. And it was, what was really cool about it too is that I was expecting it to be sort of just the crowd be very young and party oriented, but it was actually a very, very diverse crowd. We had lots of older people. We had lots of families come out with their children. We had people in the community. It was a really cool like nexus of everything that was sort of happening, and it was very, I feel like a lot of it was very accidental. Like it just sort of happened. There was like a lot of momentum just kind of came out of nowhere. Everyone, like, I would be talking to an artist about wanting to do something, and then all of a sudden he would invite five of his artist friends and be like, can we get in on this? And you know, it was just something that was really, really cool that everybody really wanted to be part of it. And I don't know, it was a really awesome, probably the best, most meaningful event I've ever thrown.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. So now, let's talk about some of the artists. You sort of hinted at some of them, Xavier, Davey as well. If you could maybe name two or three artists in your circles or just as you're looking at upcoming shows or people who are on your radar, maybe name two or three artists to look out for 2015. Whoever wants to start. Before I just call someone.
So hesitant to just name like a couple artists, because like, I mean, that's, I think that's the thing about the city to me. It's like there are so many people doing cool things, and it's just, I don't know how to narrow that down to exactly.
Well, we can expand it, but
name 15. Right.
I guess you're going.
I really enjoy Sage Guillory's work. He kind of has this form of cross hatching style, I think, and kind of black and white. And he just recently won a contest with HTC, but I'm really inspired by a lot of his work. Then I guess on the music side of things, All Cows Eat Grass. They're kind of an extension, what I mentioned earlier, of the Wonderland crew, where they've actually been more of the, they've taken on more of the road managing side of what Janelle does, but they themselves have been a band for a couple years, and they're just launching out right now. Really cool, like, funk, retro soul inspiration with, you know, a little bit influences the Herbie Hancock, the Zappin' Rogers, with kind of a modern little twist to it. So I'm really excited to see what they do this year.
I'm excited, you know, I really like the faculty. There's a number of faculty members over at GSU. Craig Drennan, Jill Frank, William Downs. I think they're all doing excellent stuff that's, you know, they're based here in the city, but they're working all over the place. I'm really excited about Kojo Griffin, who, you know, it's a weird way to say it, but back when I was in New York, he was in the Whitney Biennial, and he was doing big, big things. He was selling out shows, and he just kind of, you know, I think he had a family, and he wanted to have more space, and he moved down to Atlanta, and he has a studio at the Contemporary, and he's just been sort of reinventing himself and doing something totally different, and he keeps telling, you know, I think the excitement just keeps building because he keeps saying, like, all right, we're going to do that studio visit next week. I'm just about ready for you. I'm just about ready because it's all new stuff. I used to love the old stuff. I'm psyched to get in there and see what's been percolating in this studio. He's always in there. You can see the light on, but the door's locked. You know, it's like, I want to get in and see what's going on. I don't know. You know, what else? It is. It's hard to sort of distill it down to just a few things.
I really enjoyed Brandon Collins. I love what he was doing. Part of the Young Never Sleep studio there. And he had the Pandrogyny exhibit over there at Nelson Street Gallery, and which is a real inspirational kind of multifaceted, multidisciplinary exhibit that he presented. And I'm excited to see what Brandon has coming up too.
I guess I'll talk about music more specifically because that's probably the thing I'm the most knowledgeable about. On like sort of the rock scene, there's a lot of different bands that are like sort of related to each other and that are really doing cool things. Like Warehouse is one that I'm really doing awesome stuff. TV Dinner, which sort of shares members of them. Red Sea is really doing some really interesting stuff. And then sort of the whole Fawn and the Pan Flute family. There's a lot of bands that they're all extended with, and like Hello Ocho. Those bands, I think, are like really, they're really pushing things and really doing some interesting things. I think they're sort of moving where like the indie rock scene is going right now.
Now, one thing that I believe a few of you have talked about relates to getting the word out. And you talk about how maybe 5 years ago it was more difficult to get the word out, and that perhaps just having a larger platform or a larger megaphone would continue to help spur the growth. So I would love to get some perspective from you all about what we can continue to do to get the word out, or what holes need to be plugged or what bridges need to be built to help further promote or just inform the public about what's happening here.
Inform the local public, whomever, or just whatever.
Whomever, yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing for me when I first got here, it was like, what, you know, where's the one place that has all of the cultural listings, be it art listings, yeah, music listings, what, you know, what's going on? And I couldn't find that thing, you know, and it took me a moment. And then I said this to someone and they were like, Burnaway has all the art listings. And I was like, cool. What about the music listings? And they're like, don't know. You got to ask somebody in the music scene. Yeah, right. And, you know, yeah. I'm like, well, what about this? And they're like, don't know. Got to talk to somebody from that scene. Mm-hmm. And it's this weird thing of, yeah, it is more together than before, but it also is more fragmented. Right. You know, it also is fragmented in that way, where there isn't this one place that you can sort of go. I mean, this is like a pie in the sky dream thing, but I have no idea who would do this or how they get paid for their time or whatever, but just a damn website that has everything, you know, so that you can see what's going on.
I agree. Man, when I first moved here, I was so lost. Man, yeah, the couple trips I took before I got here, and then when I first landed, it was luckily through social media, I got pointed in the right direction very quickly, which I'm very grateful to have done. But yeah, one hub that can source that would definitely be helpful. And kind of what you describe, what you do over there, you know, in your capacity, in your role of, you know, maybe finding other local artists and helping them get planted in other cities, you know, stuff like that. It needs hopefully a source where people can understand, oh, this is here in our backyard, mm-hmm, you know, so they can kind of form some strategies of how to do that, you know, yeah.
I think with that, like, I think the difficulty is that if you look at Creative Loafing, they have their soundboard, mm-hmm, listing, and it's just an exhaustive list of things, yeah, because there's so much happening. Yeah. So if you have some hub that lists everything, it's really hard to like look at it and be like, okay, so like what do I, mm-hmm, care about?
Yeah.
So it's difficult in finding someone who can pick out all of the relevant stuff from all these different scenes and put it in one. I mean, I feel like things are moving towards, yeah, that direction more and more, but like, mm-hmm, it's I feel like it's just a very difficult thing it to is. Achieve in this, yeah, city because of just the nature of there's so much going on, mm-hmm, and if you just list everything, it's like, what, yeah, what is all this stuff? I don't even
know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think even more so too, like, I think what would help probably with solving that solution is just a little bit more accessibility for maybe weekly venue opportunities. You know, I know there's certain instances with the, at least with kind of the nature of nightlife and entertainment side of things that I do, because of lack of maybe venues that maybe either are available or that understand what's happening, it might be an experience or curated event that only can happen once a month, where really at this point too, we have the means to offer something weekly, and it would be a lot more, you know, I think a lot more realistic for, you know, community to grasp it and understand, point people in the right direction if there was one weekly source of, hey, for this style, for this type, you can go here every week. And but it's kind of been a lack of, you know, available, you know, venues for that. So, yeah.
And do you feel like just asking, you have the capacity to go, mm-hmm, from monthly to,
yes,
weekly. Do you, yep, have the audience that would come out on a weekly basis?
Yes, we do. Yeah, yeah, awesome. Yeah, we do, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. Well, speaking about asking questions, and we've been talking for about a half hour now, I would love for you all to ask each other questions now that you maybe know more about what, yeah, you know, what you all do, or maybe your perspective. I would love for you all to ask or have, you know, this is when to open this up for you all to ask each other some questions. I know, Daniel, you've been here only for a short period of time. Maybe you have more questions about what's happening here. Maybe you'll have questions of Daniel, who, you know, is at the Contemporary. And, I mean, everybody has sort of a different model of what they do. So I want you all to be able to be open and free in that way.
What do you guys think about the Hawks?
I'm actually a bigger baseball fan, so I have a very big, strong opinion about the whole Turner Field situation. But I guess their streak the other day just got kind of halted by a team named the Pelicans, which I was unaware the NBA had a team called the Pelicans. I was like, it's a very unintimidating name. Who let that slide? But either way, it seems like something that's been really, really cool thing happening. Yeah. Man. What are you guys' kind of thoughts on, you know, I feel sometimes the disheartening nature with some of the artists and, you know, they're venturing off to try to, you know, to what they deem as greener pastures is the lack of being able to maybe monetize what they do here. You know, now that they've been able to see that there's power in collaborations and unifying, which is happening, there may be, you know, I feel sometimes you're offering those experiences to other creatives. And as we all know, the term, you know, starving artist is definitely not, you know, it's a very real term. So when the community is offering, you know, experiences for other artists, you know, how is it that, you know, now that we're collaborating, getting together, what are your thoughts on maybe how, you know, this side of the city can actually monetize some of it?
Well, not about the monetizing side, but about the sort of leaving for greener pastures. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those funny things where, like, I've been thinking a lot about two visual artists in particular, and Sarah Hughes and Nikita Gale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sarah was living here. She's from here, living here, moved to New York, went to RISD, moved to New York, has a really good, really solid, you know, a gallery that is incredibly well-respected, does really well, goes to all the fairs, brings her work all around the world, and she moved back because she just wanted to get away from New York, but then she felt so disconnected, and she felt like she wasn't getting the studio visits. She wasn't getting, you know, she had to be there in person at openings in New York and sort of, you know, show her face. And she moved back, and she still has this connection to the city. She's still from here. You know, and Nikita, I didn't know Nikita that well. I think we met twice because she had already moved away by the time that I was here, but she's been back visiting. And, like, she left, and she's in a top three in the country MFA program in Los Angeles. And it's this weird thing of, like, I'm bummed that neither of them are living here right now because that would be incredible for the art scene. But it's also a good thing because these are two women that are doing amazing things in two amazing cities, and they've got Atlanta all over their CV.
Yes.
And, it's something where Atlanta galleries are on their CV. People of influence all around the country, all around the world who are interested in visual arts are going to be looking at their resumes, and they're going to see Atlanta, 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 Atlanta. And it makes it look like a viable place that you can go and sort of kick things off before you go to New York or even while you're in New York, as she was doing, bouncing back and forth between the two. And it sucks to lose them, but it's also a really good thing because it makes us look good.
Yeah. You know, on that one, too, I feel like a lot of people will get, like, sort of butthurt about people leaving the city and going places. But in a way, like, I mean, for one, like, who wants to live in the same place their entire life anyways? Like, you got to go and live other experiences. And, I mean, especially if you're an artist and a creative person, that's only going to help you anyways. And two, it's like we need more ambassadors for people who came out of Atlanta and then are actually accomplishing in other places, because we have such a deep well of emerging artists that it's not like a couple artists are going to leave and we're going to have nothing here. You know, I mean, there's, you know, certain cities where that would be the issue, but here that's not an issue. So, I don't know, I'm always feel very positive about people leaving and going to different places and doing well there, because it does make us look better. Exactly. It's like, oh, all these people from Atlanta are making it. So, like, Atlanta must have something going on.
I know, Xavier, an artist that I know you're very good friends with, Brittany Bosco.
Correct.
We had this conversation on a prior podcast where she talked about that. Talked about all the great things happening in Atlanta, but still needing to leave.
Correct, yeah.
And balancing those two perspectives.
Sure. Yeah, she's been a testament to that, too. You know, she recently relocated to New York this past year, but has been kind of a constant presence in Atlanta. And but the strides and measures she's been able to make this year has been unprecedented. You know, she's kind of been a staple in the community for quite a while, but in just last year has kind of had that catalyst to really position her in the right place. And I agree. You know, I think a big part of the ambassadors kind of, you know, moving on is when they are in that ambassador role to definitely present. You know, I've seen some maybe kind of not speak so highly of Atlanta, but it's like, no, when you are there and you're in that capacity, let others know, let them understand what exactly is happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. And Anna Brittany Bosco does a great job at that for sure. Yep.
Any other questions? Any other, or just
I mean, things? I just, for both of you, I just kind of curious, like, what y'all's next projects are, especially, like, you know, I know you mm-hmm. probably got something you're working on now for mm-hmm. the ACAC, and just, I'm kind of curious because I'm not very familiar with what yeah. you do, kind of like what projects you guys are working on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, at least with the event production and talent booking team that I work with called Work, last year we kind of hit very hard in the city with live events. We had about 25 events all last year, ranging from having a stage at One Music Fest to touring with the Art Beats and Lyrics tour. We just got back from there, our last stop at St. Louis, and just a whole lot of other smaller kind of curated music experiences here. But this year we're kind of focused on, which is probably something I could pick your brain on too later, live music releases. You know, we have about 4 or 5 internal just producers. So we've kind of been focused on releasing original content right now and just traveling a little bit more to highlight what we have here. So, yeah.
Cool.
For me, I feel really lucky in that typically you come to a museum and there's like a year of programming out and you've right. got to work on somebody else's projects. We just had a show open on Friday that was curated by Rachel Reese, my coworker who we're old friends from Philly. And I'm psyched to be working with her, and she did an amazing show. It's really great. So that was already on the books. And then there was only one other show on the books, and that's a Nexus Press exhibition. And it's one of those things. I always said, like, you know, I'm from by the New York State Canada border. Like, Atlanta is pretty far. The only thing I knew about Atlanta for years was Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb, and Nexus Press. And like Nexus Press, like it's one of those things. It's like art papers are like getting the word out there. It's ran for 33 years. They made over 200 books. It was based in Atlanta, and it was the creme de la creme of artist books. You know, it was this whole thing. It was like, how do we get Atlanta artists exposure? And it started as Atlanta photographers, then it became Atlanta artists, then it became artists from around the South, and then it became international. And the way you can make one painting and it goes on the walls, and it's harder to ship around, and it's harder to get venues for it, or you can make 1,000 books, and you can just ship them, you can just throw them in a bubble wrap package and send them all over the world. And Nexus Press was huge. It was such a big deal. And I think, you know, this is the weird thing moving here, because I'm working on this show and I'm talking to all these people about Nexus Press. And it's something I kind of grew up with it. I'm talking to all these people who didn't know anything about it. You know, they didn't know the history of this amazing thing that was happening right in their backyard. MoMA has almost all of the books. The Whitney, the library at the Whitney has almost all of the books. LA MoCA has a lot of them. The Dallas Museum, all these museums were collecting these books religiously. And they were, if they missed one because it was just run by a bunch of goofball artists, you know, and sometimes they'd forget to ship one out or something. If a museum missed one, they were upset. It was such a big deal. But people didn't know what was going on in their own backyard. You know, and I think so. That's my first gig at the Contemporary is putting together a show. It's not a definitive show. It's not a end all be all. I think it's the first of in some ways I'm thinking of it as like the first of a look back at Nexus Press, because I think it's too important to sort of let it just fade in, it just fade away basically.
Cool. I think one thing to that point, Daniel, as we look at the present and talking about the present and looking forward, one of the things that I believe a lot of people do mention when it comes to the arts in Atlanta is a sense of history and being able to maybe draw, you know, a path through a certain lineage of what happened during this time, what happened during this time. And even if those were days gone by, still being able to understand what came before, I believe that Atlanta is a city where we're always about the next new thing and sort of regenerating ourselves. So maybe some attention paid to the archival of what's happening could be a healthy thing going forward as more people come here, more people leave. It's good to understand what was happening, because then, as you mentioned earlier, Xavier, people, you know, would know who their neighbors are or what happened before, or just sort of what was set in motion before someone got here.
Yeah. Definitely. I know me coming in as an outsider, you know, man, it took maybe first couple of years of me, you know, granted I came here with, you know, I had a whole lineup of things on my CV and my resume, and, you know, I wanted to understand the Atlanta culture and the history here. So it was many events, many experiences. I just kind of played the background and just soaked it in, studied, asked the right questions before I was at. I think maybe my second year was probably when I put together my first event out here. But you're right. I think the understanding the history will allow us to be able to actually take on a lot more proficient and efficient, strategy when we're curating these.
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely, like, it's definitely a thing that people in the city don't really know about, like, the art scene that came before. And, like, even I'm someone who is guilty of that, and I'm trying to educate myself more on that type of stuff. But I will say one thing, and that's kind of positive about the way that is, and why Atlanta is kind of unique, is that it's constantly a blank slate. It's like, if you go to New York, it's got that culture, it's got its history that moves everything forward, and you have to kind of fit in that line. And other cities like LA, Chicago, they have that. Here, it's like, it's just constantly a blank slate. Like, everyone's still trying to figure out exactly what Atlanta is culturally. So there's just a lot more freedom. Like, you can do whatever you want, and you're going to find an audience. You're going to find support for it. And it's just kind of, it's really exciting to, like, be able to actually mold the culture, you know, and have, like, this clay that's totally unshaped in a way. Like, yes, there have been things that happened before that are actually really important, but they're not necessarily affecting the culture of Atlanta very much. And so that's to me is something I actually like about the city. It's very interesting. I mean, it's got its bad points, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's moments I'll get a text message or email, you know, about somebody kind of pitching an idea or you know, an experience. And at this point, I'm kind of, my schedule's pretty loaded up, and I'd look at them like, do it. Like, it's a completely right platform to you to just get out and do it. You know, when my management crew work started, we sat at a table. We're actually hitting our 1 year anniversary. We're celebrating February 18th this month. And, but we sat at a table at a coffee shop, and we had little to no resources, zero investment money, and not many relationships available to do what we did. And fast forward a year later, 25 events that were all widely attended, tour opportunities, and a lot more. But yeah, that we have it's available for us, man. That's unlike many other places right now. It's just that, you know, especially at an independent level, you just get out and do it. Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, any final thoughts or things that you wanted to hit further on, or things that you didn't get to, just we'll share them here. Any final thoughts?
I kind of want to talk about, like, a couple things I'm really excited about 2015 specifically. So, like, there's two things that in the art scene that I'm really excited about. One, I feel like this year one of the themes is going to be female artists, because there's two events that are coming. Next week is next month, Lady Fest, and then the Atlanta Zine Fest. This year their theme is girls. And I feel like this year that's going to be something I feel like is going to happen, because there are so many awesome, talented females in the city. And I feel like this is the year that a lot of them are going to get a lot more recognition, because I feel like they're all coming together and creating a platform for themselves. The other thing that I'm really, really interested in seeing what happens, and this might be more of a long-term thing versus this year, but what's happening downtown, specifically around Broad Street, is, like, you know, Mammal Gallery going in there, and about a year and a half ago, it's, like, actually totally changed the game. And now you have iDrum, you have all these, the city's actually paying attention. There are all these different forces that are sort of, like, going down there and changing things. And I'm really interested to see what happens, because I feel like downtown has been such a vacant place for culture in the city for so long, and it's looking like there's the opportunity. It actually looks very optimistic that it could actually become, like, this cultural center again. So those are the two things, like, going forward, that I'm really interested in looking at this year.
So off of your first thing, the show that's up at the Contemporary right now, curated by a woman, four women artists, and then there's all of the, you know, it's about, it's a show that's about comedy, and Rachel wound up calling all of these comedy clubs around the city, and one thing that she found was that even at open mics, even when there is open mic time, that time typically goes to men. And it's really hard for women to get time, you know, get time with the mic up on stage. So I think we're having two or three events that are just going to be women's comedy nights at the Contemporary, amongst a number of other programs. But I'm psyched just to have those coming through, and you know, have it be this place where women can get time with a microphone in their hand and see, you know, let's all have a good time.
It's interesting. My last run of gigs for 2014 at Art Basel. The three gigs that I was booked for, all curated and offered by females. And I took note of that, and I was tweeting about it. And I was like, man, it was really cool to see that. And then I think when I came here, the next event I did in Atlanta was by a female. So it's definitely like something that, you know, is taking a lot more place here now. It's good, cool to see.
Well, as we close, I would love for all of you to reiterate how people can get in contact with you and learn more about what you do. Davey?
You just go to deerbearwolf.com, and there's plenty of information and all the stuff that we do there and how to get in contact with us.
Cool. Xavier BLK on everything, on all the social medias, xavierblk.com.
Daniel Fuller, I'm at the Contemporary. We've got the people page on the website. It's got my number and it's got my email. I can't get together with too many more people, though. This Southern hospitality thing's for real. It's no joke. I've put on 10 pounds
in
a month.
You will.
I had from last week going into, let's see, two weeks ago going into last week, I had 10 straight nights of dinner parties. I've put on 10 pounds. This place is ridiculous. Everyone really wants to buy you food.
Yes.
When you're new, everyone wants to cook you dinner. It's amazing, but I can't take it anymore. I got to hide out. I got to tell people I'm going away for a few days and just lock myself away from the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I really try to commit to laying off the brews about last year. I think I lasted 2 weeks. It's difficult to do that here.
Yeah. Well, thank you all. Really appreciate all of your insight and perspective. Davey Minor, Xavier BLK, and Daniel Fuller. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com.